truth is that this message exists in every Shabbos. The concept of Shabbos, I'm going to work for 6 days and I'm going to rest on Shabbos. Hayom la'asoysam, today to work. U'mochor l'kabel schar, and I'm going to get my schar in the end. Shabbos is me'eino l'mabah. Shabbos is a parable, a mashal, that ultimately, at the end of this whole long olam hazeh, there's an end, there's a time of schar in the end. Shabbos is the recognition that I'm not here to get lost in the days of the week. That there's a reason for all this, for these Yimei Sechel. The reason is to get to Shabbos. Like the Sfarim say that there's an inyan the whole week to be mitzapa, to be waiting for Shabbos. Which is a mashal to our life in this world. That when we're in the Yimei Chol, we're in this world, we're not here just to get lost in the day-to-day life. We're here to look forward to Shabbos, to look forward to the Ruchnias that will come in the end, to look forward to the closest to Hashem that will come in the end, to look forward to feeling that Oynig Shabbos, that tremendous joy and that tremendous satisfaction that comes from breaking free from all these limitations and becoming close to Hashem. We spoke last week about Goyisha Shabbos Chayav Misa. Goy that keeps Shabbos is Chayav Misa. Shabbos is not for Goyim. Shabbos is for those people that are roi, that they're going to be there in the end. They're going to be there by Samashiach. They're going to be there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people for whom the world was created. That's what Shabbos exists for. We said last week the mashal that a guy that keeps Shabbos is a mashal to someone who goes for his 10th anniversary dinner alone with his wife and his best friend shows up to join the dinner. It's very nice if you have very good friends, but they don't belong by an intimate dinner with a man and his wife. Goy Shabbos Shabbos Chayav Misa is a goy infringing on our intimate relationship with Hashem. Now Moshe had to ask himself. Moshe's in Mitzrayim. And he sees a nation that's fallen so low. He sees a nation that's completely, almost completely absorbed into the society of Mitzrayim. This is a nation that doesn't seem to understand that the whole reason that we live in this world is because of a future, because there's another world, because there's a serving Hashem. This is a nation that seems to have lost its identity. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask himself, could this nation understand what Shabbos is all about? Does this nation have a capacity to have Shabbos? If they don't have a capacity to have Shabbos, Goyisha Shabbos Chayav Misa, they don't have any business having a Shabbos. But if they do have a capacity of having Shabbos, then giving them the opportunity to keep Shabbos could help them break free from the restrictions of Mitzrayim. There's a tremendous challenge that Moshe had. He's looking at a nation that, you know, sometimes we find someone who's not observant, who's not involved in Yiddishkeit, and they look so lost that it's hard to tell that they're a Yid. And that's what Moshe saw. Moshe saw a nation that looked so lost, it was hard to tell who's Egyptian and who's Jewish. And he had to say, could these people have the concept of Shabbos? Could these people, does it lie in the future of these people to be able to live a life focusing on Shabbos, focusing on the spirituality in the end, not getting lost in the physical world? And he thought and he thought and he thought. And he finally decided that he could discern, he could sense that deep inside their neshamas, there is that capacity to serve Hashem. There is a capacity to have Shabbos. Even though they look Egyptian, they're completely lost, they have the ability, and Hashem will be able to bring out the ability for them to be able to raise up their whole life and to work in their olam hazeh, in their regular daily life, for the purpose of an ultimate Shabbos, for the purpose of being close to Hashem. So when he heard by Har Sinai that Hashem said, Klal Yisrael, I want to give you Shabbos, he was so happy. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalka, I was right. I was right when I realized that back then in Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael was so lost, and I sensed that they have the ability to have a Shabbos. The spiritual potential is there, even though it's not on the surface. And I sensed it, and I wasn't sure if I was right. But now that Hashem is giving them Shabbos, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalka, Moshe was so happy. And that's what the Valatura means, that in the merit of Shabbos, the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim. The subservience to Mitzrayim, the Avodah in Mitzrayim, was being subservient to a only physical lifestyle, only indulging in the physical. Shabbos is saying the physical just exists for the purpose of ultimately getting to the spiritual. Shabbos is the antithesis of Mitzrayim. So when Yidden were able to, in Mitzrayim, they were able to keep Shabbos. Moshe had this great chiddush that Yidden could keep Shabbos in Mitzrayim. That was the schus that got them out of Mitzrayim. That even though they were in Mitzrayim, and even though they had sunk so low, and even though it seemed that they were so lost, they obviously understood this concept that the reason that we exist in this world is because there's another world. There's a future world. There's a spirituality that comes in the end. The ultimate goal is to be close to Hashem. There's a Taisus in Psachim, an unbelievable Taisus in Psachim, that says that this that we say on Shabbos, that it's Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, we say that Shabbos is remembrance of coming out of Mitzrayim, is because this that we don't do work on Shabbos, the 39 melachas that we don't do on Shabbos are the 39 melachas, the 39 activities that the Jews had to do when they were slaves in Mitzrayim. The Taisus says that the Jews were slaves in Mitzrayim. They had to do 39 different activities they had to do. And those 39 things we rest from on Shabbos. According to what we're saying, it's unbelievable. The whole purpose of Shabbos is a freedom from the slavery of Mitzrayim. Shabbos, which reminds us that the physical world is not the ultimate. There's a spiritual world that comes in the end. After 6 days of work, there's a day of resting from the physical. Not being involved in the physical, involving ourselves in the spiritual, that's a rest from the work that they did in Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Yidden and they seemed so lost and they seemed so hopeless. And he felt that he saw inside them the capacity that they could eventually overcome their being slaves to their bodies and to their desires. He saw that they could overcome it, they could have Shabbos. But where did they get that capacity? They certainly didn't learn it in Mitzrayim. Where did it come from? Where did it come from that Yidden could sink so low, that a Jew could sink so low and still have the power to raise himself above all physical desires and to realize that the true happiness in life is being close to Hashem? Where does this capacity come from? It comes from the fact that we have pumping in our blood, we have the blood of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that we're descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who accomplished this goal, and the Shvatim, who accomplished this goal. And it's because we're children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and our neshamas are connected to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rav Tzadik says that we're called Yisrael, and Yaakov's name was Yisrael, because every one of us has a part of Yaakov's neshama in us. We're all part of Yaakov. And since we have that special neshama, we have parts of us that are so holy, that are so close to Hashem, that no matter how low a yid falls, and no matter how hopeless a situation is, there's always the capacity to rise up again. So when Shemai starts, Sefer Shemai starts, it's not enough just to start with the story of the Jews being slaves in Mitzrayim. The Pesukim want to start with where they got the power to be able to accomplish what they had to accomplish in Mitzrayim. Ve'ela Shemai's b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim. These are the people who came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov and his children. And it's because these Jews, were the descendants of Yaakov and his children, that's how the whole story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is able to happen. If we would not have been descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we would have been lost in Mitzrayim forever. It was because we're descendants of Yaakov, because we have the Kedusha of Yaakov, it's because we're descendants of the Shvatim, that we have the power to raise ourselves up from Mitzrayim. The word Shemais, the word names, it's a well-known understanding of the Hebrew way of saying shame. That bichlal is an important thing to know about Lashon Kodesh. That whenever you have in English, we have a lot of words that are the same words, right? There's a bear in the forest, and I can't bear this anymore, and my hand is bare. Right? There's a lot of, or, and they're ones with the same spellings and different spellings, and they have no relationship to each other. And it could be that there are studies out there trying to find some abstract relationships, but there's no relationship. I have a spring, and there's a season called spring. Coincidence. In Lashon Kodesh, it's not that way. In Lashon Kodesh, every word that's shared, every word that has the same letters or the same sound, is because there's an inherent connection. So the word shame means name. The word shum means there, like you're pointing at something. So it's over there. It's shum, it's over there. And that tells us the concept that a person's name contains within it what his essence is. His shame, his name, shum, that's his essence. That's why the Sfarim say that when a father names his child, he has Ruach HaKodesh. A person has Ruach HaKodesh when he names his children. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in the father's mouth the exact spiritual identity of his child, whatever name he gives. And the energy and the creativity and the talents that each person has is represented in his name. And it was those talents of each one of the Shvatim, of Yaakov, and each one of his children that was passed down to the Yidden that gave him the ability to come out of that difficult Golas of Mitzrayim. That's the Shemois that became the name of the Parsha and the name of the Chumash. Ve'ela Shemois b'nei Yisrael. These are the names of the Yidden. Meaning, here's where all the creativity is, all the energy, all the power, all the spirituality. It's all there in the names. We don't understand exactly what, but we know that Reuven has something to do with the power of Re'i, of seeing, and Shimon has something to do with Shmir, with hearing, and you know. And if you look in the Chazal in the beginning of Parsha Shemois, they darshan different ideas from each name. It's not Sheva Brachas Torah to darshan different things from each name. It's identifying what that name represents. So the Ve'ela Shemois B'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the Yidden that came down to Mitzrayim. Here's where the power of Klal Yisrael lies. And that's how they're going to get out of Mitzrayim. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, each one representing another koyach that was injected into Klal Yisrael that gives them the power to sustain themselves through a long, difficult golus. Shnayim nikru ve'echad targum, the Sfarim say, you learn the pasuk, and you learn the pasuk again, and then you say the targum. Whatever the different order is, the Sfarim talk the different concepts behind the different orders. But let's just say it this way for now, that's the way the Gemara says it. Shnayim mikra, twice, the psukim, the echad targum, and then the translation. Lashon Kodesh, Hebrew, is by definition a spiritual language. Aramaic, which is the translation, or any translation that you say it in, is a mundane language, it's chayil. So it's possible to say that Lashon Kodesh is like the neshama, and other languages are like the guf, they're like the body, they're chayil. Lashon Kodesh is the etzim spiritual, and the other languages are mundane. They're not the etzim spiritual. Shnayim mikra ve'echad targum represents a tremendously deep concept, and that is that a person has the ability, by learning the psukim, being involved in the spiritual, and then being involved in the spiritual some more, not just one time, but two times, a person can allow the ruchnius, the spirituality, to spill over, and also to be mekadosh the mundane. And that's Targum. Targum is mundane word, a mundane language, Aramaic. It's a mundane language that was made holy. It became holy. It became holy because it was used for Torah. And that's exactly the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a neshama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a guf. And our goal is not that the guf should run wild, but that the holiness of our neshama should spill over and affect the guf. Shnayim mikra ve'echad Targum. That's why the beginning of Shemais, which is the beginning of the Seder of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Eilish Shmais B'nei Yisrael, is this long Rosh HaTevis that the Baal Turim says, but that the bottom line of it is Shmais Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. Shmais is the power that you didn't have to be able to control their bodies and their impulses and channel them properly. And Shmais is Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum, which is the power of a person to allow what's inherently spiritual to spill over even onto the mundane. That's where the whole minig of Shevivim comes from. As a nation, we had to get the, in Shmoyz Va'er, Boi B'Shalach, Yisrael Mishpatim, we had to get the capacity, the kalim, the ability, that our bodies shouldn't rule over us, but we should rule over our bodies. And our bodies are very, very useful, and they're necessary, and every desire that we have is very, very, very necessary. But we have to be, we talked a couple of weeks ago, it's like an orchestra. So each one of our impulses, let's say, is another instrument. One impulse or desire that we have is the drums, and another one is the saxophone, another one is the clarinet. And our seichel is the conductor. Our seichel coordinates exactly how much and when and to what degree and when it's appropriate. And if you have an orchestra without a conductor, it's not going to sound good. It runs wild. Our seichel, our intelligence, is supposed to orchestrate, to harmonize that all of the desires that Hashem gave us, which are all presents, they're all presents from Hashem, and they all have their time and place, that they should be orchestrated exactly perfectly to sing a song, Ashira l'Hashem v'chaye, that my life should be a song to Hashem. The time for us as individuals to do that is at the same time that we learn about when Klal Yisrael did that, which is Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says in Bereishis that Hashem told Adam that his job is to fill the world and to conquer it, uridu, and to rule bidgas hayom, and the fish of the sea, ubaoyv ha-shamayim, and the birds and the shamayim, ubebehem masa oret, and the animals of the animals that roam around the earth. Man's job is to rule over all the animals. So the Sfarim tell us that within man there's also men and animals. Our body is the behema sheba adam. Our body is the animal within man. And our seichel, our intelligence, our neshama, our capacity to appreciate ruchnias, is the adam sheba adam, is the man within man. And when a man was told rule over all the animals, part of that mitzvah is that the adam sheba adam, the man within man, should rule over the behema sheba adam, should rule over the animal within man. Shoivivim goes until Yisrei Mishpatim. That's Kabbalah Satayra. Yisrei, they got the Torah, and Mishpatim, a lot of the details of Kabbalah Satayra. Because at the point that a person is Makabal Torah, Torah is the seichel, Torah is the conductor that conducts a person's life. That tells a person when it's time for this desire and when it's not time for it. When it's time to eat Shabbos, enjoy eating. During the week, in moderation. Yom Kippur, don't eat at all. Torah is the conductor of all the different desires that we have, and when they're appropriate, and how they're proper. And it's a Mishnah in Masechet Avos. Ein lecha ben chayrin, there's no free person, elo misha isik b'tayra, only somebody who learns Torah. Only somebody who learns Torah is free. And tell this to anybody who doesn't have the type of chinuch that we have. They'll say, well, it's exactly the opposite. Before I got involved in Torah, or someone who's not involved in Torah, he's free, he does whatever he wants, that's free. Torah is the most unfree thing I can think of. You know how many details there are in the Torah? 613 mitzvahs and endless amounts of derabbanans and minhagim, and every time I turn around I find out another halacha. That's freedom? That's not freedom. But the Mishnah says otherwise. The Mishnah says there's nobody free. Ein lecha ben chayrin. There is nobody free except somebody who learns Torah. Someone who attaches himself, but the Isaac b'Torah means he's involved in Torah. He attaches himself to Torah. The ability to run wild is not freedom. The ability to run wild, it looks like freedom, and the Goyish world associates it with freedom, which is very tricky for us. But it's not freedom. It's 100% subservient. It's 100% that you're not your own man. You have certain impulses, certain desires that are pumping inside of us, and they run the show. I'm powerless. I'm just being schlepped along wherever they pull me. I'm powerless. I'm a slave. And it's not good for me. It's not good for me. It's not good for me to live my life without a conductor. Not just do I not end up happy in the next world, but all of these desires that aren't handled with the conductor in the right way, they become, as the Mesil Sisharim says, they become empty, transient, not satisfying. There's no satisfaction. But this person who has that conductor called the Torah, that's Isaac Batayra, that's exactly the recipe for happiness. It's like you went to a specialist. Let's say someone has a heart condition, and he went to a specialist, told him exactly what to eat and exactly what to do that he could live till 120. The Torah is a specialist. The Torah knows exactly how much of everything is appropriate that we could live in this world with the greatest menucha and the greatest happiness. So the Shoivivim, Shemayis Va'era, Va'i B'Shalf, until we're getting out of Mitzrayim, until Kabbalah Satayra, Yisrei Mishpatim. I once heard I didn't see this in a sefer, but I once heard that the reason why Shoivim comes out in Chodesh Teves is, besides the fact that it's one of the darkest, it's basically the darkest month of the year. There's so much darkness, which is very representative of this type of enslavement to the guf. But it's also the coldest, as we know, as we're starting to experience. That's why the heat was off, probably. Chodesh Teves is it's the coldest month. It says in Megillas Esther, if you start remembering what the next Yantif is, it says in Megillas Esther that Esther went to Ahasuerus. The night that she was called to Ahasuerus was in Chodesh Teves. And the Mefarshim, I think it's even in Rashi, I think Rashi says that the reason why Hashem arranged that Esther should be brought to Hashem, that Esther should be brought to Ahasuerus in Chodesh Teves, is because it's such a cold month that bodies have more pleasure from being next to each other in a cold month than they do in a hot month. And therefore, and Hashem wanted that Ahasuerus should want Esther very badly. So Hashem arranged that Esther should be brought to Ahasuerus at the time that Ahasuerus should have the most cheshek for her. So I once heard that that's why we have this whole time of tshuva and of trying to overcome our physical desires in Teves, because that's that month, that cold month. However, if that's true, we have to take it another step. If that's true, this is what I once heard. If it's true, there's another deeper step. And that is that the whole physical world is cold. Even the warmth of the physical world is cold. It doesn't end up satisfying in the end. It doesn't end up... A person who just allows himself to be hefker to the physical world doesn't end up feeling like he's found his place. Doesn't end up feeling like he's functioning properly. It's a cold month. And it could be that the reason why the Shoivim weeks come out on the coldest month is because there's a real warmth and light that we're supposed to be mishtaikik from. And that's the warmth of Tzama Nafshi Lelekim, of our thirst for Hashem. That's where real warmth is. The real warmth, the real happiness, the real menucha, relaxation, brightness in a person's life is when a person thirsts for Hashem. Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. Someone who searches for Hashem is assured that he'll be happy. There's a lot of lamaisetika things that people do in this time of year. In the Shoivim, there are shiurim for Taras HaMishpacha, and people give speeches about different types of inyanim of doing tshuva. I just want to bring up, as we're the first day of the first week of Shoivim, that I think that for us, of course we have to keep all the halachas that we know and so on and so forth, but I think for us, one of the greatest keys to being able to accomplish this goal is not in the traditional way that people, at least what people think is a traditional way. People look at this type of endeavor as we have to hold ourselves back. Really, we want this. We have to hold ourselves back. It's restrictive. It's I have impulses and drives and I have to hold on to them. I have to maintain control. And definitely maintaining control is a very important thing. But I think that the weeks of Shoivim are equally important, if not more important, not only to work on holding back in the physical world, but to work on developing a taste for the spiritual world. Developing a cheshek for Misha Isaac Batayra. Developing a taste for it. Someone who tastes Ruchnius, people think, I say this in the Mesilas Yesharim Shir all the time, people think that the tzaddikim that became precious, tahara, we read Mesilas Yesharim, so we start feeling bad for these people. You know, they don't do anything. You know, in the beginning is rizas, okay, but at least they have some Olam Hazeh. But as time goes on, they have nothing. They don't do anything. They don't eat, they don't drink, nothing. They eat the bare minimum. Life becomes dry. Wow, these are really big tzaddikim. They don't have anything. That's a big, big, big mistake. The people who are zeicha properly, people do it in an unhealthy way, there's no guarantees for them. But the people who get involved in the madregas of themselves Sisham properly, you could be very sure that they're living a much more colorful, satisfying life than we are. The spectrum of enjoyment that this world has to offer is like faded colors. It's like black and white compared to the spectrum of enjoyment that the spiritual world has to offer. Someone who could develop a taste for a Shabbos Zmiris, for a good Vart and a Gemara, for a Chesed, for giving to another person, for shaking a lulav, someone who could develop a taste for it, to work on developing a taste for ruchnias, it's a much, much higher, much more satisfying form of enjoyment. Yiddishkeit does not say, deprive yourself and live a boring, drab life, because in the end it will be good. Yiddishkeit says, elevate your geschmack, elevate your happiness, elevate your satisfaction, and then you'll be happy in this world and in the next world.